Radio, a lifestyle show about activating your mind, body, and soul to become fully alive. And now, your host, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. Good morning. My name is Brooke Taylor, and today, Ash Wednesday, Lent 2019 is here. And as we will be reminded of today, we are a church on retreat. That's the theme of today's program. Brother John Michael Paul from the community of St. John is joining us to impart spiritual nuggets that we may take with us along for the journey, this pilgrimage of 40 days. And the book of Joel, every year we are reminded of our mortality, our frailty, and then the call to repentance, as you're going to hear Brother John Michael Paul talk about metanoia, that word literally translated from Greek as repentance or penance. And if time allows, if you get a chance, I really recommend reading the book of Joel. It's a short one. There are only 3 chapters. And the NAB says about the book of Joel that it is rich in apocalyptic imagery and strongly eschatological in tone. And the setting, the scene, is that of a terrible invasion of locusts that had invaded Judah. And it was so terrifying a scourge that the prophet Joel visualizes this symbol of the coming of the Lord, written, scholars say, about 400 BC. So that's the basis. He is summoning the people to repent, to pray for deliverance. And I think today is one of those days where we are together journeying on retreat to repent. And where we feel Catholic pride, it's like team spirit when we wear our favorite Browns or Indians or Cavs jersey. Today, we are proud to wear our ashes out in the public square. And there's something very attractive about it. Churches are often packed on this day, and that is a cause of great hope. Before we get into Brother John Michael Paul, just want to read a brief reflection from one of my favorites. He's no longer with us, Father Edward Hayes. He writes about this day, a contemplative reflection about Ash Wednesday. He says, "Institutional religions are evaporating before our eyes. In our culture, one rarely hears of God or prayer mentioned in daily speech. So be prepared to engage in a spiritual work in a non-religious social environment. In such a situation, if you desire to do something spiritual this Lent, consider becoming a Lenten God spy. Go about your ordinary life as a secret agent living in some anti-religious dictatorship that forbids any expression of religion. To intensify the task, consider the following as your Lenten practice. Place your first and second fingers on your throat's jugular vein and linger there as you feel the vigorous throbbing of life within you. This is living affirmation that God is not distant or remote, but is pulsating within you. What is your response to this mystic presence? Your response to this question could be your Lenten activity. The simple touching of your jugular vein could simply, in itself, if performed devoutly each day, be your Lenten work. This simple, silent touch can also profoundly awaken you to life's perpetual attention to you and your needs that naturally invites you to deep, loving gratitude. Use it whenever you need God's presence, whenever you feel yourself sinking even deeper into the quicksand of an argument or a hopeless situation or in any difficult encounter. Use it in the crowded shopping mall, at your desk, or driving to work. Prayer rituals and postures we know greatly influence the mind and heart. As one of God's secret agents, this is a way that you can get in touch and in tune with the Father. Simply placing your 2 fingers on your jugular vein can secretly and silently be in communion with your beloved. Amen. A beautiful way to be present in a time where life moves so fast. We are at breakneck speed and so easily get distracted, but breath by breath, that reminder that God is indeed with us. Thank you again to Father Edward Hayes. A dear friend of mine is Brother John Michael Paul. He is a monk in the community of St. John. He's currently living, preaching, teaching in Texas when he's not traveling the world. Recently just took a large group to World Youth Day in Panama. And so whenever we get a chance to connect, it's always exciting. And I had a chance to ask him about Ash Wednesday from the monastic perspective. So he's going to share that from the significance of the 40 days to the one book of the Bible that he recommends we all read this Lent. I think you're really going to enjoy his insights. Hear now my conversation with Brother John Michael Paul.
Thank you so much, Brooke. It's an honor to be here and a joy to be here in Ohio.
I wanted to just get your perspective on this. I know as a community, Father Nathan shares a Padre in Your Pocket, a tidbit of wisdom often. You share a community. You are brothers. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to be walking through this Lenten journey as well. Can you give us a little bit of an insight, a peek into what you do to prepare for Lent?
First of all, I'd like to go into the significance of the 40 days, because there's the 40 days of Lent, but there's also the 40 days between the transfiguration, the exaltation, and the cross. There's a certain amount of time that we're given in order to enter into this mystery of Christ's passion, death, and resurrection. And I think one of the sort of traps we can get into Lent is we often think of what we're going to give up. You know, no chocolate, no wine, no peanut butter. And Lent becomes a time of no, no, no. And it is sort of missing the point that Lent is more of a time of yes, yes, yes. And the number of people that I've known that say, well, I said I was going to have chocolate, but then I slipped and then I just started eating chocolate. And we sometimes take it too materially, and we realize that one of the most important fasts can be a spiritual fast. And if we think of St. James and his epistle, he says that if we are able to control our tongues, we're able to control our whole person. It's one of the smallest parts of our body. And so we see that there's a spiritual fasting that we need to enter into. And one of the components of that spiritual fasting, I think, is to realize that we are not in control. That if we are going to give up something, it's for us to realize that we were created by someone else, and we are created for someone else. We're created by God, for God, for knowing Him, for discovering His love. And so our Lenten penances or Lenten resolutions need to be in view of that. So many times I think that what is overlooked is that Lent can be a time of additional positive things. You know, I will do an additional time of prayer. I will offer up a certain amount of time of each day for service. I will say nice things about this person that I tend to say things that aren't so nice, so that our words that can be words that can like tear down can be words that are blessing. Benedicere means to say something good of someone. When God, and that's where we have the word blessing. So a blessing is when God says something good about us, and we can say that about other people. And I think that that's really where we have the work of the metanoia, because we hear that word metanoia, it's like a change of thought. And so that change of thought comes from our opening ourselves up all the more to God, who is always yes. And maybe one of the persons that we can turn to who always has been yes is the Virgin Mary, who said yes when the angel came and announced her that she would become the mother of the Most High. And she continued to say yes all the way up to the cross and all the way up through her assumption into her glorification as Queen of Heaven and Earth.
Well, listening to you, it's clear that these are ponderings that are often on your spirit, on your heart, that you've studied, that you know through and through. And I hear your words, and it's this wonderful alarm bell of yes in my own heart when I hear that. But in the day-to-day goings on of my family, where I'm busy, and I think, am I going to have time to sit and reflect on all that you just said? What advice do you have to the busy mom, any person of any stage, who struggles with this idea of being able to enter into it in such a profound way?
Well, first of all, I'm not certain that I know it through and through, but I try. Our prayer life is, first of all, our intention that we have of directing ourselves towards God, of opening ourselves up to Him and the mystery of His work and His saving grace in our lives. But I think another thing is that we sometimes think of prayer as this very ominous thing that I have to spend so much time and I'm not doing anything. I'm like in a room all by myself and then I get distracted. So what's it good for? And then the bell rings and then my kids and, you know, all this sort of stuff. And that there are two things I'd like to talk about. One is what I call the microwave prayer. Have you ever heard of the microwave prayer?
No. Mm-mm.
Well, compare a microwave oven to a regular oven. What's the difference?
Well, the speed.
Yeah, it goes much faster. So the microwave prayer, I tell this to people, you know, young people come to confession and I say, well, how about prayer? Like, well, I don't have time. I said, oh yeah, you're very busy. And they said, oh yes, yes, I am. Would you like to try the microwave prayer? Well, sure. So we get up, the first thing we do, boom, on our knees, we say, Lord, I offer up this day to you. All the good that I will do, it is for your greater glory and honor. Help me to do your will. How long does that take? 6, maybe 7 seconds about? Okay. And then in the evening, you know that moment that where you're just going to stretch out into that delicious oblivion of sleep, just before that you go, boom, on your knees, Lord, I put this day back into your hands. All the good I did, that's for you. Where did I not do good? And you let the Lord tell you a little bit, that, okay, Lord, I am sorry. Help me to have a good sleep so that I may better serve you tomorrow. That takes you about 11, 12 seconds. So about 20 seconds, I tell people, you know, do you have about 20 seconds you can spare in their life? And I've never had anyone say no.
And even the posture of prayer, you said on your knees.
Oh,
is
yes.
That, so that's important.
I think that's important because it's the attitude of adoration. It's the attitude of requesting, of asking. And what we do with our body, our soul follows. And what we do is that we bookend our day in prayer. And that is important, that the intention is that the whole day be given to prayer. But it's not that I'm conscious of prayer. The Lord doesn't ask us to be conscious of ourselves praying, because if we're doing that, we're just looking at ourselves praying. So we're centering on ourselves, which isn't very useful. Mm-hmm. But he's asking us to be open up to what he is wanting in our lives. And so another person I'd like to mention is Jose Maria Escrivá, the founder of Opus Dei. And when I was a young man working in Los Angeles, I would go to Spiritual Direction with the group of Opus Dei, and they would talk about our work being prayer and the sanctification of work, which I thought was just very beautiful. And so to say, okay, Lord, all this work I'm going to do today, if it's going to be the washing, it's going to be the drying, it's going to be, you know, the cleaning or whatever, you know, my work, let that be my prayer today. And so our work can become this yes, and that our whole Lenten experience would be wanting to live more the yes of Mary in our daily life, knowing that it's this intention that we have to make our whole life a prayer.
And what about for you? How is that going to be played out? Do you set goals? Do you sit and reflect? Or is it just organically? I don't know. How do you for Lent? Because for me, it's very systematic, which might even defeat the purpose. And having a family, too, I feel like it's my job to help shepherd them through this season. So we do something called landing time, where we gather, and it's kind of a soft place to land in the evening as a family. And whether we read one story of a saint, or we do a novena or something, like you said, it doesn't have to be long, but it's us gathering together in the citadel of our home and making it a holy place. And I guess in that way, it's like a community, because you do gather together as brothers at a point, right, and pray.
What you're talking about is, as Vatican II says, that the family is the domestic church. It's the basic unit of the church. So when you gather, you make ecclesia, the gathering together. And so you form your church. And you with your husband, you share those three roles that are shared with a bishop: to teach, to govern, to sanctify. And how beautiful that you have this landing space, this landing pad, that you are able to have that, you know, coming together of the day and sort of also debriefing the day.
Yes.
You asked me, how is it going to play out? And then you said, I don't know. In my life, well, I don't know either. It's one of those big unknowns. And one of the things that I think is important going into Lent is to realize that it's going to be God's time, God's work, and God's results, which are oftentimes not mine. And so one of the qualities that I think we can ask to have given to us is the quality of patience and long-suffering. And long-suffering is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. When you read it in the Galatians, he talks about all the different sins and the fruits of the Spirit are this. One of them is long-suffering. And if you think about it, or what is the object, the biggest object of our long suffering in our lives? Who do we have to suffer with the most in our lives?
Ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be able to put up with myself, to see that, okay, I'm in progress, and maybe my progress seems like I'm even regressing, and that one thing that we cannot judge is the quality of our prayer life. We can take time for prayer, but when people say, oh, I had a great time of prayer, I said, well, how do you know? Oh, because I was paying attention to the Lord. How do you know? You were actually paying attention to yourself, paying attention to the Lord. So actually, maybe sometimes our prayer life is all the more pleasing to the Lord when we're struggling with, you know, distraction, temptation, just not wanting to be there, boredom, dryness, because we're not looking at how well we're doing. We're not looking at ourselves. We're trying to look at Him.
Thank you again to my friend, Brother John Michael Paul. We are a church on retreat. Amen. I wish you a most blessed Lent. As much as it is penitential, there are great things to look forward to. I love the local fish fries, a wonderful opportunity to support your local Knights of Columbus or your parish. We had something called soup and stations a few years back at our church, which sounds like you would guess. We had one of our deacons, Ron Rialfi, and his wife, Teresa. They served meatless soup selections downstairs in the social hall so families could come and have wonderful warm soup, and then we would go up afterwards and pray the Stations of the Cross on Fridays. There are church missions, which I encourage you to search and support. Life will always be busy, but to prioritize these moments now, reserve them in your calendar, is a really good way to live out Lent thoroughly the entire 40 days. And of course, different stages of life bring different challenges as well. When my kids were little, it was easier for us to all gather together. They had early bedtimes. We were all home, had dinner around the table every night, which we still do try to do. But in our landing time where we would gather every night during Lent, we decided one year to learn the Pater Noster. It's the Our Father in Latin. And my generation, my kids' generation, they don't learn Latin anymore, at least in our area, our bubble, in the school they attend. So we found a YouTube chant version, and we learned it in song. It was really a competition, which was fun. And that has been a gift to the entire family. This was probably 7-8 years ago. And then through God's providence, we actually ended up using that, saying that together as a family in a prayer CD. It's called Pray With Me, a Treasury of Catholic Family Prayer. So I thought it would be nice just to share it with you from back in the archives, the audio of our family, and it may be imperfect. So for all the Latin perfectionists, forgive any mispronounced words, but this is our family praying the Pater Noster.
Pater Noster. Qui es in caelis, sanctificetur, nomen tuum, adveniat regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in caelo et in terra, panem nostrum quotidianum, da nobis hodie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen.
Amen. Those little voices have grown up so much since that time, but what a blessing for my heart, and I hope for yours too. It's the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer, Pater Noster in Latin. And families are always changing. I realize how quickly time has gone by, and not every year is the same when it comes to Lent. One of our wonderful local listeners, Anna, is joining us on the program, was kind enough to leave feedback about her own family and some of the traditions they enjoy and are planning for this Lent. Take a listen. Here's Anna.
Hi, Brooke. Thanks so much for asking me to contribute a little of our family's Lenten practices. One is we always decorate. I like to decorate the kitchen table since that's where our family gathers for meals. I usually decorate with our sacrifice bean jar. How that works is each time they do a small sacrifice or some small kindness out of love for God, they're able to put a bean in the jar. On Easter, those beans turn into jelly beans. So I like the reminder that our sacrifices are sweet and that God uses them for his glory. And then every time during Easter that they do something kind, continuing on with kindness or sacrifices, I let them eat a jelly bean from the jar. Another thing that we like to do is have a calendar counting down the days of Lent. We also like to, on Passion Sunday, veil all of our icons, all of the crucifixes, all of our religious images with purple, and those stay up through the Triduum, and we remove them on Easter Sunday. I really love that practice because for me, looking at a sacred image helps me throughout the day. And then when we veil them, it's just a sense of sacredness in our house. And not every church veils anymore, but it's not against church teaching to do so. And I just love the practice. I think it's a beautiful reminder of the season and what we're entering into when we get closer to Holy Week and to the Triduum. We like to also carry out the Stations of the Cross and pray those on Fridays. On Fridays, we fast, but we like to do simple soup suppers and then Stations of the Cross. And one year I made, when kids are littler, I made these, I guess they're like little Easter eggs that you fill with each Station of the Cross. And we still use them to this day, even though my children are getting older. It really helps them to remember the station and to recall Jesus's suffering for us. So that pretty much sums up the Lenten practices that my family does. Thank you so much. And I will be praying for you, Brooke. Have a blessed day.
Wow. Fantastic. Thank you. You're a good mom. Thank you so much. That is Anna Bertram. And we'd love to hear from you. You can send an email, reach out, feedback@goodthingsradio.com. In 2009, my husband and I were blessed to be in Rome on Ash Wednesday, and one of the unique things we experienced was that the priest actually sprinkled the ashes on top of our heads. So that was a new experience. And then a few years prior to that, in 2006, Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI delivered a powerful message about the ashes and our Lenten traditions. He says this: another symbolic rite, an exclusive gesture proper to the first day of Lent today, is the imposition of ashes. What is its most significant meaning? It is certainly not merely ritualistic, but something very deep that touches our hearts. It makes us understand the timeliness of the prophet Joel's advice, echoed in that first reading, advice that still retains its salutary value for us. He goes on to say, indeed, the inspired author wonders, what use is it to tear our garments if our hearts remain distant from the Lord, that is, from goodness and justice? Here is what truly counts: to return to God with a sincerely contrite heart to obtain his mercy, a new heart and a new spirit. We ask for this with the penitential psalm par excellence, the Miserere, with the response, be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. The true believer, aware of being a sinner, aspires with his whole self, spirit, heart, and body, to divine forgiveness, as to a new creation that can restore joy and hope for him. So we have that metanoia aspect again, but then we also go to the combat. This is where Pope Benedict XVI talks about the spiritual battle. He says it is a spiritual battle that we could describe as combative, an aspect of Lent where we deploy the weapons of penance and the battle against evil every day, but particularly in Lent. Christians must face a struggle like the one that Christ underwent in the desert of Judea and then in Gethsemane, where he rejected the most severe temptation, accepting the Father's will to the very end. And he ends by saying, in Lent, we will often hear re-echoing the invitation to convert, to believe in the gospel, and we will be constantly encouraged to open our spirit to the power of divine grace. Let us cherish the abundance of teachings that the church will be offering us in these weeks. Again, that homily delivered by Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI in 2006. So I like that we have the action steps that we can do by incorporating prayer and patience and almsgiving and self-mortification, and the really wonderful creative ways that we've been able to hear, whether it's through the jugular prayer or through Anna's tips, but then also the spiritual foundation behind it. Beautiful homily there. Thank you so much for being a part of today's show. And as we wrap up, I want to invite you again to support our Jerusalem Marathon run. Brother John Michael Paul, who joined us today, along with my son Grant, and I and another brother, we'll be running the Jerusalem Half Marathon on March 15th to raise funds, awareness for persecuted Christians in the Middle East, particularly in Syria. Your gift is a witness to the Beatitudes in a direct way. And I think very often we hear about these stories, persecuted Christians in Iraq or Afghanistan, Nigeria. We all want to do something. It's just hard to know how. So this is front and center, an easy way to give and to make a big impact. And part of Lent is almsgiving. This charity, Aid to the Church in Need, is a pontifical foundation as we work to shine a spotlight on the needs and ask your help. Very real, a literal Lenten exercise.
exercise as we run, and you can give. And together, that's good teamwork, because we then support, working as a body of Christ, our brothers and sisters. Pretty simple yet beautiful. You can find out more, donate right on their official website at churchinneed.org. Share it with others, churchinneed.org. I'd like to conclude with a prayer written by our saint of divine mercy, Saint Faustina Kowalska. As we heard Brother John Michael Paul talk about, we are a church on retreat. And I think it sums up our heart and our mindset, her words, as we walk into this Ash Wednesday, these 40 days, and then eventually Easter Sunday. She says, "My Jesus, I am going into the wilderness today to speak only with you, my Master and my Lord. The earth be silent, and you alone speak to me, Jesus. You know that I understand no other voice but yours, O Good Shepherd. In the dwelling of my heart is that wilderness to which no creature has access. There you alone are King." May we crown Jesus the King of our heart today and always. Next week, we will look at the radical conversion story of Mother Margaret Mary. She is the foundress of an order of nuns right here in Ohio. It's called the Children of Mary. And coming from a secular feminist background all the way to being seized by our Lord, becoming a hermit, and eventually founding a new religious order, it is a story you don't want to miss. God bless you this Ash Wednesday. May you receive many consolations and blessings. Until next time, friends, peace and love.
Good Things Radio is a production of St. Gabriel Media. Adventure, encounter, evangelize. To find out more, or to schedule Brooke to speak to your group or parish, visit brooketaylor.us. That's brooketaylor.us. Good Things Radio is a production of Coming Home Studios, produced by Mark Cumming. Find out more at www.cominghomestudio.com.